There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
Hey, can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
What time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Bob, how you doing?
I can tell you're very uncomfortable because you're not running the show.
Bitchin', I don't listen that far out and solid and right on, Bob.
Jeff Lutz.
I thought I was a pretty good number one guy. For most of the time, sometimes not, and I'd be the first to admit it.
It's all fun on top.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Don't touch that guy.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. It's Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz with you until around 4 o'clock today. Max Fire producing and engineering the show. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. When were you ever the number one guy?
What were we talking about?
Nice promos, by the way, that Max has updated and started to put in, and we appreciate that.
I didn't really hear it. So I don't know.
Something about you being the number one guy. I don't recall.
Well, that's happened a long time ago.
I don't recall when that happened.
Oh, it must have been a long time ago then. So
you
far
right
back
today,
you can't remember.
Seem a little subdued.
I'm a little
is it
subdued.
The weather?
No, I don't know what it is. Just a little sensitive to things today for some reason.
Why can't I ever know exactly what I'm going to get here? I mean, it's like it's like you're bringing in a box of chocolates
every
day.
That'll be fine. Everything's wonderful.
And usually I get the coconut one, and I don't like the coconut one.
Well, get the caramel one.
Well, you never are the caramel.
Get the double chocolate guy. Get the coconut cream.
You're always the coconut one.
Get the marshmallow.
What I do is I put it in my mouth and I spit it out.
It is what it is, I guess.
And I don't care for coconut. Talk about a guy who should be subdued. Sitting in my house last night, we're watching television, having a good night, enjoying our new kitchen, you know, all the things we've
from
done.
From the living room.
Well, but we go out there.
Okay. What do you do in the kitchen?
We get our drinks and our food. And
it's good stuff.
What are you trying to mock
I'm
now?
Not mocking. I'm asking. What have you cooked any of your concoctions lately?
I haven't cooked anything yet since we got the kitchen. I'm almost scared to. I did go get an area rug today for the dining room table. But last night, anyway, I'm sitting and enjoying TV and my wife and dog. And Debbie goes downstairs, and she hears this gurgling sound. And coming up from the drain area of our utility area. And so she says, we got an issue. So I go down and look at it. Sure enough, we have an issue. I call a 24-hour plumber.
Is there a leak?
And we find out our hot water heater had busted open.
Uh-oh.
Inside. And drainage and leaking. And so fortunately, this guy and Cody, wherever you are, if you're listening, thank you for getting out. And thank you for your friendliness. And,
on a Sunday night.
Sunday night. And he got it taken care of with a new hot water heater, went to the warehouse and got one. And by about 10:15 last night, we sent him on his way with a new hot water heater.
Man, that charge must
be how much we
astronomical
paid for it.
Because of the after hours. And
not so much the after hours, it's just those things are expensive.
I understand, but part of it is the labor and the.
Well, that was $149 for the after hours.
That's not terrible, I guess.
The rest of it, I don't even want to talk about.
Well, we don't need to know.
On top of everything else, the kid could use a raise, Tony.
Who's Tony?
Tony Deucing.
What do you mean?
Well, I could use a raise.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the guy who came out. Who cares about you? You didn't do anything.
Well, I paid him. And here's what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about a 10-cent an hour bump. I'm talking about doubling or tripling what I get.
Good luck with that.
Well, if you really had to think about it, don't you think that would be
As I said, go for
rational?
It. Good luck.
Wouldn't you think
go
that
get
would,
it? Go get the bags.
I'm asking you.
I don't care. So yeah, I can't.
You don't care what I make.
No, not even a little bit.
Why is that?
Well, why should I?
I care what you make.
No, you don't. We make the same thing.
Of course I care.
As we should.
Which, by the way, is an absolute travesty.
No, it's not.
Tony, if you're listening, think about this. I'm gonna say this very slowly.
Why do you have to be like this?
What do you see? You even know.
I even know what?
You know.
I'm doing fine.
Yeah. You're getting paid what I get paid. My name's on top of the marquee.
There is no marquee.
I do most of the guest booking.
That's your choice. If
okay,
you want to,
we're turning it over to you.
No, that's not my choice. You're the leader.
Max.
No, that's what you claim. So
no, Max, get that into a promo.
No, we're not going to get that into a promo.
And
you're
send
turning
it to
my
Tony.
Sensitivity into rage.
Send it to Odyssey, the higher ups, and let's get something going here. Chiefs lose one last night, yesterday afternoon. It felt like last night. Buffalo, dark and dreary. Although good weather, apparently.
Was it dreary?
Yeah, it's always dreary.
It was like in the 50s, I thought.
Well, I understand that, but didn't it feel dreary watching it on TV?
It felt like Buffalo. Felt like a game at Buffalo. It was kind of cool, but not cold.
My guy, Josh Allen, my quarterback in my fantasy league, good job.
Well, that was an unbelievable run to secure that game.
I knew he was going
to
do it.
Yeah, but I didn't know he was going to look that good doing it and score and, you know, just kind of trucking some people, evading tacklers. And then the interception at the end by Buffalo was also pretty amazing. So they earned it.
Would you want to try to tackle Josh Allen?
No, but if I'm Chris Jones, I would. If I'm, you know, somebody in the defensive backfield,
I'd give
it a shot.
When he gets up ahead of steam, I don't care who you are.
Trent McDuffie, I might give it an effort.
I wouldn't want to try to tackle that guy. So anyway, the Chiefs have now lost the game. The AFC is shaping up. I think I can tell you right now who the 7 playoff teams are.
Well, let's hear it.
Oh, I've been sneezing more lately. Is that seasonal?
Did you just pick the teams with the 7 best record right now? Is that... Because anybody could do that. Where did you get creative? Where did you
There's
go
no
off the
creativity
beaten path?
To have. It's
Cincinnati still has something to say.
No, they're done.
No, they're not. Look at their schedule. They have
they're
Pittsburgh
done.
Twice and nobody. So if they split with Pittsburgh, they're a 9-win team and they could
they're
sneak
done.
In.
Here's who I have in.
Nobody's done.
They are. Because here's who I have in. Now, we don't know about the seeding. Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, 3 best records in the AFC. Then you have the Chargers, who held on and won last night to improve to 7-3. Baltimore, 7-4. Houston, 6-4. And the Denver Broncos are going to get in because that young quarterback is coming into his own in a big
Bo
way.
Nicks.
And that guy, Sean Payton, can coach. They're not. Nobody wants to face Denver right now.
They're tough. Bo Nix has been very, very good.
They have nobody you've heard of.
They just have Cortland Sutton is a
guy.
Yeah,
but look at their main receivers. And Cortland Sutton's good. He's okay.
They have Marvin Mims. They have
that's what I'm talking
Lil
about.
Jordan Humphrey or Pumphrey or something like that. They have. Audric Estime at running back.
But you're making my point for me.
I'm not trying to not make your point. I'm trying to
they have the most
accentuate your point.
Unknown group of offensive players you'll ever see, and here they are I won't say out of nowhere, but they lost to Baltimore big just a couple weeks ago. But they're playing really well. Now you can't put a whole lot of stock in into their win yesterday. Who was it against?
Atlanta, and yeah, you can. They crushed them.
Atlanta's on the downside, aren't they?
Probably, but the manner of victory has to mean something. It's not like they squeaked it out. Atlanta's shown itself to be a competent, capable football team over the course of this season.
Bo Nix, 28 of 33, 307 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 1 sack, That's one of the better quarterback performances of the year anywhere.
And I sat him in one of my fantasy leagues, and now I've got to sweat out a Nico Collins game tonight.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know. It's hard to do.
Devon Vealey? Is that how you say
Vealey,
his name?
I believe.
Don't know him.
Or Valet.
Don't know him. Little Jordan Humphrey. Don't know him.
Yeah. He had a touchdown
Marvin
yesterday.
Mims Jr. I've heard of him, but...
He was out of Oklahoma. He was a pretty well-thought-of draft pick a few years ago. Hasn't turned it into much.
Javonte Williams. Now, that's their one guy who has a track record, and he's
good. Yeah, but
he's
not that good.
He's okay. He's good. He's
They're
okay.
giving other guys carries and trying to...
He had 9 carries for 59 yards yesterday. He has not had as good a year this year as he did last year, but part of that is because they've increased their passing game.
And they've given other guys carries, too.
Bo Nix was awful earlier this year. And now he's become a guy.
He had a lot of time in college. He played at high-level programs. He played in high-level games. He arrived at the NFL more of a finished product than some of these other rookies.
He had four interceptions in his first 2 games and has had 2 since.
There you go.
This guy, Sean Payton, who you don't like.
Neither do you.
Well, I don't mind him now. I like winners.
Oh, now you don't mind him? When he said you couldn't wear a bucket hat, that's when you... I mean, I forget Sean Payton. So he can't earn... He
Why
can't
do you
win
not,
me back.
You're never going back.
Once you've lost me, I'm done with you.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a loyal guy. You want to go and betray me, turn your back on me and my values?
Can't we at least admit he's a good coach?
He's fine. Why wasn't he a good coach last year? Why couldn't he turn?
Because he didn't have anything. Oh, unless you have a quarterback.
Mike Tomlin has Russell Wilson now, and they're 8-2.
Mike Tomlin's a different cat.
He's a better coach than Sean Payton.
He's a defensive-minded coach, and they went right after a very good offensive team in the Baltimore Ravens, and they just basically don't let you do anything. They're fun to watch in that way. I know you don't like the Steelers either.
I don't mind
the
Steelers.
You don't care for Mike Tomlin.
What are you talking about?
You've said it on this show.
You just make stuff up. Why do you get to make stuff up? I thought you were a journalist.
Well, you've said you don't like Pittsburgh. You don't like the way they play.
Not really. I don't really mind the Steelers. They got some guys that are, you know, you can root for them a little bit.
When you can build a team around defense in this era of anything, I'm impressed by you. Look at high school football. It would appear that none of the good athletes are that interested in defense. I don't have that. I haven't talked to anybody about it.
I don't know.
But if you look at the scores of games, everybody's scoring 40, 50 points.
Seems like it.
Now, Derby obviously holds people down as well.
You know who holds people down that I was surprised by? It's not going to matter this week because they play Andale. But Holcomb, they've won their playoff games. They give up like 10-7 was one of their scores, and they're going to get hammered. We all understand that. But
well, Andale's on a different level. So we have Andale in Class 3A. We have who's our 2A representative?
I don't know. I don't know that we have one. 1A is Conway Springs. I'm not sure. Garden Plain lost to Beloit.
Garden Plain lost. Medicine Lodge, did they win?
They're out.
Well, we don't have a 2A rep.
I don't think we do.
In 4A, we have Bueller.
And Andover Central. That's a game.
I hope it's a game. Andover Central's starting to look like they're on a little bit different level, too.
A little bit, but I think Bueller will have a little something for
them. Well, we'll see.
It might not be a...
By the way, we have Steve Warner, Bueller coach, on today at 2:45. I'm usually right about this stuff.
All you do is look at scores like everybody else.
But I try to tell people.
What do you tell them?
I tell them when I see a game that I don't think is going to be particularly close.
Hasn't Bueller been running it up on some people lately?
I think Bueller can. I'm not saying that's going to be a 45-7 game. But Andover Central looks like they're on a different level.
Well, they're going to probably, if what you say is true, they're going to take on Miege, And that's a game I think a lot of people want to see.
They got to beat Miege. I may even go to that game.
I think they will. If they make it.
If Miege makes it.
No, if Andover Central
makes it. If Miege
is going to make it.
No, I don't know about that.
Who do they play?
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't. Miege not
lost
4A.
Six games this year.
To 5A and 6A teams. Mostly 6A.
Yeah, but that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it does when you're playing a 4A playoff schedule.
Who's our 5A rep?
Goddard Eisenhower.
Who do they have? Hayes. Tough game. That'll be close. That'll be a knockdown, dragout.
Hayes has shown a lot in the playoffs. I don't know what happened, but.
Well, they're good.
They weren't that good in the regular season.
Trust me on that. That's all I ask.
I'm not. No.
And then in 6A, we've got Derby Manhattan. And while I believe Derby will win the game, that's going to be a fascinating game.
They'll win by a lot.
I don't think they'll win by a lot.
I think they'll win.
Not what you're used to Derby
winning. At least 20.
35-20.
40-20. 41-20.
35-20.
Nah, it's not going to be that close.
Is my early guess. And as the big fella Anthony will tell you, I'm usually spot on.
Doesn't sound like it. Because if Anthony has to tell me, then there's probably something that you're not telling me.
Now you're dogging Anthony.
No, I'm saying there's probably something you're not telling me. Bishop Miege plays Tonganoxie, and Bishop Miege by 1,000 is going to be the score of
that. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'll tell you what, I tried to tell you, too, that Mill Valley Aquinas game was going to be one of the great playoff games we've had. Not just this year, historically, in the state of Kansas. And if you follow that one, what was a one-point game? I think 23-22. Aquinas moves on.
Those might be the two best. Those are definitely the two best teams in 5A.
Wait a doggone minute.
I'll put Derby ahead of them, but, you know, those might be the second and third best teams in the state. And then, you know, whoever else you want to put
in. Wait a minute now. Don't be selling some people short.
Who am I selling short?
Goddard Eisenhower.
Well, Goddard Eisenhower might get its crack at St. Thomas Aquinas and their dynastic program and their dynastic coach, Randy Dreiling, who wins just state championships all the time.
We can hope.
Phil Jackson of Kansas high school football.
We have a lot to get to today on a Monday. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Boy, K-State just got dominated by Arizona State on Saturday night up in Manhattan. We'll break all of that down with Fitz. And then, as I said, Steve Warner, head football coach at Bueller. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk KU football with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. They went and did what several of us thought they would do, and that's beat BYU on the road.
Yeah, you
saw that.
Your little nonsense. It's 9:15 start. I'm not going to see.
I pick Kansas.
When I allow you to influence me in any way, it always goes awry.
You had a horrible week.
I got my bonus.
Yeah, but that's about it. I won the week this week.
I got another game right.
We got to figure out what to do about Duda. He picked the wrong bonus game in which he missed. What I'm going to do with him, because he can't follow instructions, he loses that game and the bonus points. I'm not here to babysit.
All right, that's fine.
You can't follow the directions.
Yeah, all it takes is a little reading. I looked at that email you sent looking for, like, okay, well, how could this have been confusing? And there was nothing. So that's on dudes.
So
no question about it.
Sorry, he still had a good week because he gets – the guy, I hate to say this, does he know the NFL?
Nah, he's getting lucky. He hasn't ever done this before.
But he'd have you believe that he is Jimmy the Greek or Howie Long.
Well, I'm waiting for that addition onto his house then. If he's that good, let's see some tangible product out of that. Let's see something.
Can't pick a college game to save his life.
Well, I don't think he likes or cares or watches college football.
I watched all of that K-State game.
As did I, believe it or
really?
Not.
Really? Now, wait a minute. Are
I
you,
did.
Raise your right hand.
No, I don't want to raise any of my hands. But we did watch it.
Did you watch any of the KU game?
Maybe a quarter before I switched over to SNL or something.
What?
Yeah, I don't need to watch football all night. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you need to watch the teams we talk about.
Yeah, those were going late, though. I want to get my weekend update in and go to bed.
I'll just say this about SNL. Saturday
not very
Night
good.
Live. Huh?
It's not very good.
It's okay. They hit and miss. But Sarah Sherman is one of the funniest people alive.
She's good.
Can I say that?
Is this enough?
Her little deal about the squirrel during the weekend update. You'd think there's no way anybody. She is hilarious.
She's very funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, good. No question.
Why do you have to downplay?
I'm not.
Why don't you just say, like, you know, you're right. She is.
Well, I think a lot of people came to this revelation a year or two ago.
But why can't you just jump in?
I jumped. I'm already in the pool.
You have more hang-ups than...
I've already actually dried off and got back in again,
I mean,
believe it or not.
My goodness. Let's take a break. Tim Fitzgerald joins us next. We'll break. Well, not a great week for the Cats. We'll get Tim Fitzgerald's thoughts next. The Bob and Jeff Show here, KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Hotline 869-1240 brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox.
It's a lot. It's a mouthful.
Tim Fitzgerald joins us. You partner with Xbox, Fitz?
Why do they need an official breakfast?
I'm never going to figure it out. I just read what I'm handed, you know?
Yeah. I'd probably accept an official bourbon of Tim Fitzgerald sponsorship.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's go back close to 48 hours or so. Arizona State comes into K-State. I think we all thought K-State would handle Arizona State. Maybe we failed to give the Sun Devils enough credit. After watching that game, I came away thinking they've got one of the best young coaches in college football. They've got a hell of a quarterback. They've got a dynamic running back who I thought K-State actually did a good job against after the first quarter or so. And they've got a really good receiving core. Arizona State's not getting enough credit. We're talking about how K-State blundered. How good is Arizona State in your opinion?
Well, they were good enough to win. I know that. And they kind of just dictated that entire game. Even in the second half with the lead, they used the rules to their advantage to run the clock down, something we discussed at the press conference today, and how there's a loophole in there that they drove a car right through and were able to drag about a minute and a half off the game clock when K-State had the ball and wasn't substituting. It was a very interesting situation. Yeah, I learned a new rule. So K-State just got to be better. I mean, they just weren't good at all. They didn't look good on offense. Eventually, defense faltered, and special teams was a disaster. It's a weird thing to have after an off week in your 10th game of the season to have such a clunker of a performance, but you're right. A lot of that was Arizona State.
My son disagrees. He gave me the, boy, they were just
I said
okay.
They're all right. Typically strong, I guess, K-State performance would have beaten them. Am I wrong?
No, I have not really covered a K-State game at home in that context before, where the team just looked so effortless, and I don't mean that as a compliment. They just didn't seem to even want to be there, and I don't get it. I don't know how that came to pass, but now they have to deal with it. They're not out of the Big 12 race for Arlington, but they're about as far away as you can get right now, and they need to focus on winning these two games. They are 7-3. I mean, you got two games and a bowl game all guaranteed. You can get a 10-win season if that's important to you, or if you've chucked it in. Just let the fans know so they can plan accordingly for the rest of the season.
I'm certainly not the biggest of K-State fans, but my daughter does go there. I watch them pretty regularly, and I'm invested, I would say. So I guess I would look at them with a more critical eye than normal. And you add on to that Avery Johnson, a Wichita guy who is under the microscope. Is he the guy? There seems to be some kind of misfit with him with the rest of the offense. I don't know if it can be pinpointed. Am I seeing something different than you're seeing?
No, he's not good right now. And I don't know if his injury has lingered and they want to protect it. If he's just gun shy to run or someone's telling him not to run, but there was some, there was a pass that, he threw into the tight end in the back of the end zone that was incomplete when he could have probably walked into the end zone, and he didn't do it. It was a little bit out of character for what we've seen from him or what we knew his game was about. And I just don't think he's quite playing his game. And Chris Klieman said today at the press conference they're going to have to use Avery in that running game more than they are.
Tim Fitzgerald with us, GoPowerCat.com. K-State coming off a 24-14 loss on Saturday against Arizona State. So you said they didn't look enthused, that they looked like they didn't really want to be there. We had the same conversation after their loss at Houston. Yep. When does this become a red flag? When does the alarm start to go off, if it hasn't already? How do we get to the bottom of why this could possibly be?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think for a lot of fans, the alarm has gone off. I'm going to wait to see what they do against Cincinnati. If they come out and, with the same lack of enthusiasm that I've noticed this throughout the season, they just don't come out of that locker room with much fire. They just kind of jog out there and go about their business, and they haven't been a good first half team. And this time they got so far behind they couldn't dig out of it. I'm going to hold back on first half of Cincinnati. Let me see what happens here. And if not, why bother, with a lot of in-depth coverage? If they're going to shut it down and go through the motions, I think the fans will too.
What are we hearing about Dylan Edwards and his injury? I guess I just haven't remembered to follow up on whether he's going to be out for a while or not. And if Giddens is the only guy back there, he looked really good in the second half. I don't know if that was just a defense kind of backing off or what, but what does the running game look like if it's kind of just Giddens as the bell cow? I guess it has been already.
Yeah, we're not sure. Chris Klieman didn't have an update on Dylan Edwards or Keegan Johnson, who tweaked a hamstring in warmups, both very similar injuries. We don't know about the severity and how long it'll keep them out, but typically that'll get you through the next 2 weeks. You'll be down for that. And K-State went to Joe Jackson in the second half, and every time Joe's gotten the ball this year, he's been pretty good. He scored another touchdown. I think he will get a lot of work in practice today. And in fact, Chris Klieman mentioned today, I thought this was really interesting, when Dylan Edwards went out, he took with him a big chunk of the game plan because they had designed a bunch of stuff with Dylan. And he said, I really regret not trying to run some of it with Joe Jackson because they're similar players. We'll see what the young guy can do this weekend if he gets more carries. But Chris Klieman also mentioned DJ Giddens is a little bit banged up. So the workhorse has some dents in it.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. K-State again coming off a loss to Arizona State. Chris Klieman was fairly emotional in his huddle with reporters. He battled some vertigo earlier in the year. We think he's had some things going on inside his personal life that are affecting him. Could that be the answer to my earlier question as to why the Cats seem a little down and out right now?
I don't know how that would affect the team. I mean, it's not something he's openly discussed too often. I mean, I'm privy to the details of it. And as I've told my subscribers, not in his household, but it's very adjacent. And he also mentioned today that they got some good news over the weekend after that game. So that's probably going to take a little pressure off of the Kleiman household, because there was a lot of stress there. He was seemed a lot better at today's press conference. And because of the way he looked, so defeated in so many ways, a lot of fans have been wondering if he's going to retire. So I literally asked him, that was the first question of the press conference, if he considered it. And he said, I haven't even mumbled those words to anyone. So maybe that means he's thinking about it, but hasn't told anyone. But I don't think he's retiring.
So I'll go to basketball real quick. What did you make of the loss to LSU? It seems, you know, just kind of an early season game. All these guys are still trying to get used to playing with each other. I think not everyone is even available at this point. But what did you make of that?
It was awful. I mean, it was not a fun 3-day stretch for K-State fans. I appeal for the fans that came in from out of town to watch the basketball game on Thursday, the football game on Friday, or excuse me, on Saturday, because that the best day of the week was probably Friday. I mean, they saw just two pitiful performances by teams that didn't look interested in competing, and that's just so out of context for K-State teams and for the fans to handle. It's got the fan base a little moody, because basketball just looked awful. Awful. Disinterested against LSU.
Yeah, and then there's the whole way that college athletics has changed, I think, lends something to this as well, because you get a team that loses a couple, you start to fear, well, what's going to happen in the offseason and the transfer portal? You got K-State basketball really opening up the pocketbook in NIL, and then you got that performance. And I'm telling you, fans are not used to all of this, and they don't really know how to process it all. And this new world of college athletics, I don't know where it's headed, but I don't – help me out, Fitz. Finish my sentence like you always do.
Well, it's craziness. This is not what anyone signed up for, and I'm glad the players are getting paid. Don't get me wrong. They deserve, you know, to get something out of this more than a scholarship, I guess. But we're going to see a lot of coaches get out because it's just not what they want to do. We've seen that a little bit on the basketball side recently. And this isn't sustainable. They absolutely have to find some way to make this make sense a little bit more, because the coaches just are inundated. Nobody signed up to be a college football coach to basically worry about player salaries and roster moves like the transfer portal becomes. That's more professional type things, and it's also kind of a disconnect for fans now. You know, to watch a basketball game where a kid representing your school is, you know, not putting in much effort, clearly is disinterested in playing, and if NIL numbers are right, he's getting paid in excess of $50K to play that game. And I'd be pissed off as a fan too. I think fans want more of their student athletes. Hey, if you're going to get a bag, you're going to be held more accountable, and I agree with that.
So, Fitz, I recently discovered your daily YouTube updates. I think they're very good. Yeah, they're quite good, but I have to rib you. Do you smile that much in real life?
No. It's I'm not really. I'll just be really honest here. That opening came of a philosophy of mine that someone shared with me at my start of my cancer journey. When someone asks you how you're doing, every day you're doing good, you're doing great, and no matter what you're feeling, because it's kind of a self-prophesizing what your day is going to be like. But I do that with the daily delivery. Hope you're doing well. I'm doing great. And that includes even my bad days. And that's just a good way to try to keep your mind in the right place.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, no, you've battled your ailment as bravely as anyone we've seen, and we congratulate you on that. What do you expect in these last two K-State football games? They're obviously going to play in a bowl game as well, regardless of what happens. And these are certainly not easy games, at home against Cincinnati, at Iowa State. What do you expect?
Yeah. I'm going to say something I try never to say on radio or anywhere when discussing my topic of choice. I have no clue. I just have, again, what happened Saturday was so out of context for even the Chris Klieman team, not just K-State Athletics, to have back-to-back losses like that where the team looks lethargic. We haven't seen that since probably Ron Prince, but it just didn't fit anything we've seen from Chris Klieman losing back-to-back games like that. So I don't know what we're going to see on Saturday. I just don't. I didn't get a great vibe off the room today, but that might have just be an ongoing hangover on a Monday from losing the game they thought they should win.
Fitz, we really appreciate it. Good talking with you. We'll get with you soon.
Okay, boys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. All your K-State news. He's the editor, publisher, owner of that website. Steve Warner joins us from Buehler High School. We talked to Steve way back before the season even started, expecting a strong year from the Crusaders, and they've given us exactly that. Coach Warner, welcome, and congratulations on a great year so far.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. We've had some ups and downs, but the kids have handled adversity and responded very well.
I fancy myself as someone who thinks he knows a little bit about high school football, mostly from just watching scores and talking to people like you occasionally. This Andover Central team, your opponent Friday night, they're going to be tough, right? You don't have to be very smart to know that.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've got a bunch of kids back from the state runner-up team last year. Yeah, they're very solid.
So let's turn my mic on. Let's talk about last week. You beat Wamego. You avenged a loss. What does that signify for your team that, just about 6 weeks prior or so, that's a team that you struggled against? Does that mean you're playing your best football at the right time? Is it something else? Where do you see your team after that victory specifically?
Well, I think we're definitely playing our best football of the year. In game one with Wamego, the very opening play of the game, we lost our starting tailback, and he had a dislocated shoulder. The first one that our trainer has never been able to put back in, so it was pretty severe. Wow. But we lost him on the very first play of the game. We were ahead the entire game. 7 minutes to go, we got third down and one, and we get three penalties in a row to make it third and 16. Then they get the ball back, drive down to about our 25-yard line. They run a draw. It's fourth and one. We stop it, and we have a guy tackling the quarterback on his legs, a guy upper body, and he finds a way to just get the ball to a running back who missed his block standing there, goes in for a touchdown to take the lead for the first time the whole game, and then we throw a pick six. So we felt like that game we should have won, and it definitely opened our kids' eyes up. I mean, we lost to Great Bend, another good football team, earlier in the year too, but those two losses I feel like just made us more focused, made us hungry. And going back to Wamego, if you want to call it a revenge game for us or whatever, but our kids were focused, excited, and a very hard-fought football game. Wamego's well-coached also, and their kids play hard. They've got a great facility and a great atmosphere for high school football, and I think our kids just rose to the occasion, and we made very few mistakes. We had some great plays on third down that kept drives alive, and just very proud of the way our kids are playing. Defense has been outstanding all year long. Kids flying to the ball, playing very, very well. And Coach Coles, that's been with me for 21 years, has done a great job with our defense and has for years. So I just feel like you said, though, we are playing our best football right now.
Steve Warner, our guest, Buehler head football coach, coming off a 28-14 win over Wamego. They now play Andover Central on Friday night in the Class 4A semifinals. You've gone on the road a couple weeks in a row and won. Mulvane, Wamego, now Andover Central on the road. You start to emphasize that road warrior thing at all?
Well, we really haven't in this case. Just because we knew when we were the 5 seed, if we got as far as we wanted to get, we knew that would happen. So I really haven't played that card. Maybe we can this week, but we don't have anything to prove as far as whether we can win on the road or not. We know we can do that. And it's just the opponent we're playing, and we have to play very well. I guess Wamego, one time in the third quarter, the start of the third quarter, we had a 19-play, 9-minute drive. And that's the kind of thing we need against a high-powered offense like Andover Central, too. Long, sustained drives and keeping our defense on the sideline.
So, you know, our good friend Brent Chemnitz likes to say, let me be your experience. I hope I hear from him after mentioning that. But, you know, this is a team, I guess unless they were freshmen and still play on this year's team, they haven't been this far in the playoffs. You obviously have many times. So how do you use your experience in these situations to help or get kids amped up who haven't necessarily been there?
Well, number one, just try to motivate them. Yesterday in our meeting, when we watched film together, I wore my state championship ring from 2013, and I've worn it one other time other than probably the week after we won it. And I just told the kids that I want them to dream of it. I said, you know me, I'm not one that's going to brag. I'm not here to tell you that, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. I want you to have one of these. You have an opportunity. We win two more football games, and you can get a ring. So just need to, I just think, keep motivating them like I like to do and keep them focused. They were suited up with us that year that last time we were in a state semifinal game. So they've seen that, and the game can't be any bigger, you know, than what last week was. So they're used to it, the pressure of it. And I feel like it does mount a little bit each week, but not really, not when you've got a group of kids that are hungry and they just want to play football.
Steve Warner, our guest, the head football coach at Buehler. So when you have an opponent like Andover Central, and I don't want to build them up too much, but they've had a remarkable year. They've lost only one game, and that was by 6 points to Goddard. When you look at them on film and you gather your coaches around to study that tape and you talk to your team, what do you say? Because it's going to take big effort defensively to slow these guys down. You feel like your personnel, that you have the kind of personnel and the kind of technique and the kind of game plan that can, you mentioned a 19-play, 9-minute drive. You have the personnel that can keep the ball away from them?
Well, I really feel like we do. You know, our offensive line is big and physical, and we've got running backs that run hard. For the most part this year, we've taken care of the ball. And we have a defense that's been playing very well, too. And they have tremendous athletes there, but our defensive line is very small, very quick, very aggressive, and we've put pressure on every quarterback we've seen. The best team probably we've seen all year long was Great Bend, and we sacked them 6 times, and 64% of their plays were negative plays. So I feel like, you know, we've got to put pressure on quarterbacks and we've got to be able to do the things well. But, for our kids, I'm not going to tell them anything different than that because, yeah, they see the film. They know that they're talented, but they also put their pants on the same way we do.
Yeah, the two losses you had came within 3 weeks of each other. Do those sidetrack you mentally at all? Are those difficult to overcome, especially when you have really high expectations for what you can be? Do they make you second guess, or do they even reinforce what you already think or already believe what your team can be?
Well, the Wamego game was miserable. We had that game pretty much won, getting ready to score there, you know. And then you lose a game like that, I don't care how long you've been coaching, it's going to rip your heart out. And but I think it also did reinforce what we did. We did what we wanted to do with them. We kept the ball on the ground, and we moved it. And against Great Bend, we were ahead of them in the second quarter. We threw another pick six, and then that's when the floodgates kind of opened with them. But we were up by six, moving the ball on the ground and through a play action. So then some bad things happened there, but I still feel like it reinforced some things that we did. We've made changes along the way. So, you know, if you win every game, you don't maybe make personnel changes. We've had two running backs that we at our tailback spot that have played well for us, but Mitchell McDaniel is the one that we put in there now. So by losing those games, he's a senior that has played tailback pretty much his whole career, but last year it benefited us for him to go to wideout. Well, then when Ben got hurt, we moved him. You know, it took us a couple of games to see that we needed to go with Mitchell, but we did. That helped our team. Our backup quarterback is a linebacker for us that at 6'1", 230 pounds, isn't your prototypical quarterback. So we moved him to tight end. That's helped us a lot. So with losing, it makes you reevaluate everything you do personnel-wise. But anybody that's watched me coach over the years, we're going to stay with what we love to do. Obviously, always have wrinkles, but we like the I formation. We want to be able to run the football, and we find personnel to fit that for us.
Well, we can't wait. This is going to be a great, great matchup in Class 4A in the semifinals here in the western half of the state. Buehler on the road at Andover Central on Friday night. Steve Warner has been our coach. He's been doing this a long time. This is a big reason why you do it, these kinds of games, all right?
Well, it really is. And winning the game at Wamego, seeing our kids the way they were excited, seeing our community, our student body, everybody that by us have winning a football game, the excitement that was there. We had a great crowd that traveled to Wamego. It's just the excitement of it all. And, you know, of course, I talk about retirement. And my wife sends me a picture of me coaching. She says, I don't want you to ever retire. It's just something that she knows I love, and she sees the joy that I have in it. And I love the relationships, and there's always bumps in the roads that you have to deal with kids, and if they're getting along. You have to deal with parents and complaints. But I tell you what, the positives outweigh the negative, and I love what I'm doing.
Well, it would be very fitting if Buehler were to go on and win this thing in honor of the late, great Chuck Porter, certainly one a guy that I have deep respect for. I know you do, too. So good luck, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Steve Warner from Buehler High School. Yeah, that whole Chuck Porter thing just came into my brain. He not only coached at Buehler, but lived in Buehler. Not Hutch. He lived in Buehler, just down the street from the high school, and passed away in the summertime. And one of the best. All right, we got another hour left to go here on the show. We'll talk some NFL football. It's Jive Talk, 869-1240. You're welcome to weigh in when we come back.